He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most joyous parts of Christmas is that moment when the table is set, the glassware gleaming in the candlelight, a gorgeous tablescape spread out before you, perhaps with flowers or with ornaments or with lights, and each set of dishes perfectly placed for each dear family member or friend. And the food, oh, the food. The smell of it tempting you all day as the various delicious delicacies let their aromas waft through the air. Turkey or ham, steaks or shrimp, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans and cornbread, Jell-O salads to remember grandma, and in my family, it's grandma's famous green Jell-O that takes the prize. And of course, pies of all flavors, chocolate, apple, pecan, and maybe even a gooseberry. Even though we have been eating too much all week and nibbling on foods all day, this meal is the one we've been waiting for. But most importantly, much more important than the food, hard to believe, I know, is our time together, finally finding a moment sit and to breathe, to stop all of the running around, the last minute shopping, the present wrapping, the house cleaning, the food preparing, the luggage packing, and the airplane catching, to finally stop the whirlwind of it all. Because we have arrived at this most perfect moment, a shared meal together, celebrating what is most valued and valuable about our life together. Our faith and our friends and our family. And a celebration it is for another year of memories, for the love that sustains us and keeps us together, for the many blessings in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for and so much love to share, and remembering Christmas encourages us to embrace all that's good in our lives. But at the same time, this moment of joy isn't quite as simple as it seems. Someone looking in the window of our home at this happy and cheerful scene, a group of friends and family sitting down to dinner, might find it absolute perfection. However, from their limited perspective, this vignette of one small moment, so much remains hidden from their view. Each person who gathers around that table has his or her own story. The place where they find themselves this Christmas. The history of how it is that they got here. The fuller picture of who they are and how they fit with friends and family alike. Each person brings to that dinner table their own unique gifts and skills, their distinctly beautiful insights, their particular contribution to family life, to faith life, and to the world. Their joys, their triumphs, their warm heart, their deep soul, their steady worth. And each person also brings to the table their own limitations. The way that life has distinctly challenged and changed them. Their sorrows, their failures, their wounded heart, their hurting soul. If you were to go around each seemingly perfect Christmas table, you would find so much more than meets the eye. Peering into the first home, you might see something that looks like a perfect Christmas dinner. But if you were inside, you would know that this Christmas dinner centers on one particular family member, because this past year, he or she received a sobering and awful diagnosis. In the second home you would peek into, that Christmas dinner would have a completely different guest list than usual due to mom and dad's divorce. In the third home, this Christmas dinner is missing a dear brother because of a bitter disagreement between father and son that remains unmended. In the fourth home, the Christmas glassware won't get used this year because Christmas dinner is being transported to a care facility due to Grandpa's recent need to go on hospice. In the fifth home, this Christmas dinner comes with the announcement that Dad's cancer has returned. In the sixth home, this Christmas dinner will never be the same as it used to be, because one seat at the table will remain empty forevermore. And this, dear friends, is the imperfect world into which our Savior breaks. This world full of truth, this world that you and I actually live in, full of the realities of life, such as they are. The Christ was not born as a child to save a scene from a snow globe, a Christmas card, or a Hallmark Channel movie. The Christ was born as a child to save you in the middle of your particular story. In the middle of the truth that we are far from perfect, and this world that we live in offers few of the protections that snow globes do. Christ breaks into this world as the baby Jesus, born a human, with feelings of joy and hurt the same as yours, with struggles and successes just like yours, and with a body, a human body, as frail and as vulnerable as yours. What does all of this mean? What's the point? It means that after that profound moment, after that first Christmas, God decidedly and irrevocably gave up on perfection, including but not limited to snow globes, Christmas cards, Hallmark Channel movies, and your perfect family dinner. Because God knows this. We humans may be really lovely people, incredible creations designed by an even more incredible creator, but we are lousy perfectionists. And so God relegated perfectionism to the past and invoked the prophet Jeremiah, who declared that one day the old covenant would be obsolete, fulfilled by an even greater promise that would be unbreakable. For it would be written on our very hearts and made true not through our work, but through the work of this baby born tonight, this baby Jesus, our Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. From that first Christmas onward, our Emmanuel declared that he was no longer searching for perfectionists, but rather now he was on the lookout for sinners. Real people brought low by the challenges of life and shattered by the travesty of their own sin. People broken by wrongdoing and struggle from within and from without that needed hope and that needed to be made whole again. That's whom our Emmanuel desires to find so that he might bring them this word. You are forgiven. You are held. You are comforted. You are whole, you are beloved. Sitting with us around that Christmas table then is one who brings not the boring illusion of annoying perfection, but rather the magnificent, real, and awe-inspiring gift of grace. And he is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, our Emmanuel, God with us. And there, over dinner, with a strange wisdom, he tells us to stop beating ourselves up for what we have done wrong. For we are forgiven by God, and it's time we forgive ourselves. And with a vulnerability that reveals a hidden strength, he tells us that completely inexplicably, the moments in life that seem the hardest often turn out to be the most significant. And with a gentle authority, he suggests that maybe this year we should consider letting go of our hurt and anger and just see what happens. With a twinkle in his eye and with love in his heart, he tells us how glad he is to be having dinner with us. And after hearing his words, which begin to sound like the best thing you have heard in quite some time, you look around at the rest of the table and who is seated there, now having gained an even deeper appreciation of just precisely what it is that you are thankful for this Christmas and celebrating the sacred love that sustains you. Unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen.